Thank you. Good morning. Welcome. We're so glad to have you celebrating in worship with us this morning. We are missing our pastor this morning. Many of you know that he's been in a lot of pain this week with his back, and he's home resting and icing it and planning on following up with a doctor and chiropractor this week, so I know he appreciates your continued prayers, and for Mary and Brianna as well. I also wanted to just mention that we currently are not passing offering baskets, so if you have a tithe or offering you'd like to give, the baskets are right at the back doors on your way out. I also want to acknowledge this morning the women who are here. You have been an encouragement. You have been an example. You have been a friend to me and to many along the way. And I wish for you today a Mother's Day in which you are encouraged and in which you know how much you are loved. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for the opportunity to share together in worship and in our love for you. We give to you today our physical selves. We give to you today our emotional selves. And we give to you today our spiritual selves. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, which breathes life into each part of us. And we thank you for the encouragement and love that you give to us. And our heart and our flesh cry out for you today, our living God. We want to lift especially today Pastor Don and ask you to be with him in a very real way. Make your presence known to him as he misses being here. We pray for your healing hand on his body. We love you and we worship you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to dismiss Brianna and Wally to go with Hope. Hope, thank you. Today is Brianna's birthday, and Wally's birthday is later this month. Yep. Happy birthday to both of those girls. Thank you, Andy and Rock, also for your participation this morning. We are going to read scripture together. I'd like to invite you to stand if you would like to. And I will read leader, and you can read everyone. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who hear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning again. On this day that we as a nation call Mother's Day, there's a wide spectrum of mothering, if we think about that. And so I want us to focus on those women in our lives who have inspired us. I am reading from A Wide Spectrum of Mothering by Amy Young. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on those complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expecting and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. I want us to think on these words this day as we prepare for our open worship time. Our open worship time is meant for us to be able to act on those urges that we get that we believe as friends are from the Holy Spirit to speak on something that is on our hearts. We don't always do it, and sometimes we do it when we should, and sometimes we do it when we shouldn't. But I think it's important that if we're feeling nudged to speak from our hearts. And so during this time of open worship, I'm going to open it by sharing something of my own experience, and then I'm going to sit down for a while, and this mic will be open for you if you wish to come up and speak. If that's too uncomfortable and difficult for you, you're welcome to stand where you are. You just need to speak up, because as you've already been told, people may not be able to hear you, and so they would miss the words that you have to share. So I want to share about a woman that inspired me. Did she have faults? Yes. In fact, my mother, Leona, some of you here remember her and were around her. When I was a child in the early 50s, she was the last of some of the pioneering missionaries in the Belgian Congo, which became Burundi, Rwanda, and the Congo. And the part we lived in was called Burundi. And she was quiet. She was hardworking. She was born in a farming family in Greenleaf. And the family were all hardworking people, getting up at 4 a.m. to milk the cows and all the other various things and sort eggs from the chickens and pick apples for the fall fruit harvest. So when she and my father decided to go, because they felt an urge to go to the mission field, that's what they called it then, with the friends, and they went to what became Burundi. And I remember being told by someone that, well, when I was a child, well, your mother, a lot of the other missionary women think that she doesn't like them. She's not friendly. And I remember that surprised me in some ways. She was very quiet, and she had a couple of close friends, but she didn't usually speak her mind. She didn't usually say things except to us kids. I remember one time asking her, why was she angry? Why was she so mad? She said, I don't mean to be. If I look like that, that's not what I'm thinking, that I'm angry with you. But what I wanted to share with you were some of the things that, it's a story that I want to tell of her that hopefully will be an inspiration for you. on our way to the Belgian Congo in 1952 or 3, somewhere around there. We went to Belgium. We went by boat because airplanes weren't as big a deal back then. And we had to haul stuff. And when we got there, my parents were supposed to learn French and get it down and pass these exams. During the time we were in Belgium, my brother and I were the kids. My mother became pregnant. And I told her that we were going to have a girl, and her name was going to be Miriam Elaine. My parents didn't believe me. They said, they picked out a boy's name. They said, well, it'll probably be a boy because you two are boys. Well, while we were there, it wasn't too long after the Second World War, and things were still a mess. There were still buildings that were crumbled on the sidewalks from the bombs. And so the missionary doctors there that were learning French, they told my parents, you need to go out to Burundi, which was the Belgian Congo at that time, and have a missionary doctor oversee the last trimester of the pregnancy and the birth of your child. Well, my father couldn't go. So my mother, this is something she was going to have to do by herself. It was her first plane. No, it wasn't her first plane ride. It was her second one. It was her second plane ride in her entire lifetime. And she was going to fly from Brussels, Belgium, down to Dakar, then to Lagos in Nigeria, then to Khartoum in Sudan, then to Leopoldville in the Congo, stay there 3 days until a plane would fly, because it only went once a week, to where we lived, Usumbura. So that's what she had to do with two little boys. It was a DC-3, which that means it has two propellers out there. And I'm sure this frightened her very much. But they said, the missionary doctors could take care of you better than these foreign Belgian doctors. So they decided that's what they would do. And I was 3 at the time, but I still remember it. I remember getting on the flight, and there was a single lady, we called her Aunt Astor, who brought us gifts. She brought each of us one of those little, they're wooden, and they have, if you press the bottom of this little base, then the creature sort of collapses. And if you push it different sides, then it does different things like this. And so we had that for the entire trip, all the way from Brussels, Belgium, to Leopoldville, and then on. And somehow, I don't know how, she was told by one person that spoke English on this flight. It was a man. He said, why are you flying all the way out there unaccompanied by your husband as a woman and you're pregnant? You're a foolish woman. That did not help my mother. I remember her being told that. And so when we got there, there was another woman who picked us up at the airport, and we went on our way. But in thinking about that, I realize there are a lot of things that we're asked to do in this life. We can either face our fears and do them or run from them. And she chose to face her fear and do what needed to be done. So she has been an inspiration to me and my siblings and other people. Yes, she had her faults, but she chose to do the things that were important and that she knew needed to be done, even when she didn't particularly want to. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. So if you have something to share, please come and do so, or stand where you are. Or we can just be quiet, and that's okay.
Happy Mother's Day. So, my mother passed in the night on Monday. Yesterday would have been her 94th birthday. And today's Mother's Day. Her name was Patricia Maureen May Murphy. She gave me this jacket because she wanted me to know I was just as much a Murphy as I was a pizza, so there. My mom was a tiny little Irish girl, but she was a force of nature. She was a genius. She entered college at the age of 16. And as I put in her obituary, from sunsets to Renaissance painters, she was able to recognize high art, beauty, and genius like few people could. One of my favorite memories of her is when we were touring Italy, and she had an art history degree, and I was minoring at Earlham College in art history, and she walks into this cathedral, and my little brother and sister were in tow and really didn't have any art history education yet. And she walks in and she goes, "That is so Baroque." And my little sister said, "It's broken, Mom, not broke." And my mom glanced at me and did the little eye roll because she knew I knew. There's 7 kids. She had 10 pregnancies. We lost our sister Amy when she was 9 years old, hit by a car in 1964. It changed my mom forever. She wasn't the same after that. It's a relief to know that she's reunited with Amy and with my dad, whom in the last 5 years she kept on complaining. She just wanted to go be with her husband. They were married for 69 years. The 7 of us cajole and joke that we probably spent 6 figures of expenses on therapy because of Mom. And in my crash and burn in these last several years, I've shamed the family. I shamed her. She didn't want to speak to me. In the 12-step program, there's the 9th step, which is really the crux, where after you've looked at your shortcomings and spiritual defects, you make amends. It doesn't say apologize. It says make amends. I tried. She wasn't available to listen. I even offered to come back and take care of her, but she didn't trust me. And I resigned myself, I guess is the best way to put it, to make amends after she passed. That after ego, the ability to communicate is going to be much easier. This may be a universal, but with me, my mom and I locked horns a lot. And yet she came from a broken alcoholic family in which both her father and mother died of the creature, as they call it in Ireland, and her brother and sister died of the creature. And as I went back, studied the family, the creature got all the Murphys, every last one of them. And my name, Timothy Michael Patrick Murphy, Pizzo, I inherited that disease. So I see now that, you know, her ability to see perfection, to see genius, to see beauty in a sunset, was counteracted by her ability to see the imperfection and the ugliness And she always had an opinion, and she always had a recommendation. And of the four marriages I had, she did not approve of one of them, not one of them. And you know what? For many years, I always did the, what would Jesus do? And then as we got, as we lost her father several years ago, we started to talk, say, what would Dad do? And I have wondered in this last week, as I'm trying to communicate with my mom, I can see that she came from a place of brokenness in her family of origin, and she came from fear, and she wanted the best for me and my brothers and sisters. And so she wasn't about to hold back and say, you know, that's not a good match. As I look back on it, of the seven of us, she never approved of any of our mates, not one of them. So I see that deep down inside, it wasn't to be aggravating and irritating. It was because she wanted the best for us. And what more could you ask for a mother except for that? So with all of her imperfections and with all the memories I have of her, I'll always remember that she would drag us out at any age because the sunset was coming. And what was she trying to teach me? She was trying to teach me that life is precious, and in each moment we can find beauty. So, and in her honor, and I'm going to acknowledge that, I got vaccinated on Monday.
I too had a special lady in my life. And the, first of all, I need to give you some background. My mom had four kids. When my twin sister and I were the oldest. And my two brothers. When we were seven, my dad went fishing and he drowned. A boat capsized and he drowned. So my mom had four kids at 29, and she was single with no support other than what she had. At that time, before that time, the special lady in my life was my grandma. We called her Nanny. And Nanny, I was the kid in the four of us that basically I was the oldest by 13 minutes. And I never wanted to do anything wrong. And I was very insecure that I would do something wrong and get disciplined for it. And at that time, it was different than the way we raise kids today. If you got in trouble, we would have to go cut our own switch and get switched. So I learned really young that I didn't want to do anything wrong. But I also developed this kind of a fear that I had to do everything right all the time. My grandma, Nanny, she saw that in me, and she took me under her wing. And for her, she always was positive with me. I never felt like, I always felt like she was there for me, and I could go and I could tell her anything. And she was my idol. She was the person who loved me even when I did wrong. But I didn't feel that way with my mom. I learned young that from my grandma that it was okay to do wrong. You know, if you did wrong, it was okay. She loved you. She loved me no matter what. My mom now is going to be 92. And she really had four kids, and here she was. She met my dad, my stepdad. And he was an absolutely wonderful man. He took us four kids under his wing, and we called him. We went one night, and we all talked, the four of us, and I was just turned 13. And, you know, every kid needs a dad. And our dad was gone, but he's always been in my heart. And us four kids talked, and we decided that we wanted to call him Dad. And I was entering high school. And so we went down and we asked him. His name was Jim, and we always called him Jim because we'd known him for so long. And he said he would love to be called Dad. So we called him Dad. And it was a joy in my heart that I had a dad. My mom has, I love her with all my heart. I had to, through the years of adulthood, realize that she's even as critical as she can be toward us kids, us four older kids. She really does love us. And yesterday I went and saw her. She lives in Portland. And we've had our ups and downs. But I went and spent some time with her. And I call her every day at 8:15 in the morning. I call her and talk to her. And I love her with all my heart, no matter. I put aside the things that she was critical of me, because I know she loves me, and I know she did everything she could for all of us kids and to make our lives good. And when I went and spent time with her yesterday by myself, usually James and I go, and we play pinochle with her. Yesterday was just an amazing, amazing day. My mom is very helpful to the neighbors, to the garbage man. When the garbage man comes, she makes something and takes something out to him every week. I mean, she's a real loving, caring person. I didn't know that until I became an adult and I saw the things she does. And yesterday, I had given her a basket that had flowers in it. And my mom is a master gardener. She loves, she enters flower shows. And she's an amazing lady. And I see the gifts that she does for the community, for the neighborhood. And then I look back and see, as an adult, what good she did for me. And I love her with all my heart. And so she is in my heart as a wonderful person. But my grandma, Nanny, is the lady that took me under her wing. And I'll never forget all the love and caring she gave me, all the guidance she gave me, and how she showed me how to love others no matter what. And I just thank my mom, I thank my grandma, I just thank all the ladies, even here in church and Bible study, that have pulled me in and given me so much love and support throughout our years with here, with them in Bible study. There's so many women here in our church that are mothers to us, even if they're not our mothers. And anyway, that's kind of, I just praise everybody. I thank everybody. I thank my mom. I thank my grandma for making me the person that I am today.
I want to finish our open worship time by reading a passage of scripture that Don gave to me to read. It's from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. And most of you are familiar with it, but I think it doesn't hurt to hear it again. And now I will show you the best way of all. I may speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but if I am without love, I am just a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy and know every hidden truth. I may have faith, strong enough to move mountains, but if I have no love in it at all, I am nothing. I may dole out all that I possess to the poor or even give my body as a sacrifice, but without love, I am none the better for it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love envies no one. Love is not boastful, nor conceited, nor rude, nor selfish, nor quick to take offense. Love does not keep score of wrongs. Love does not gloat over other people's wrongs and sins, but delights in the truth. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. Love will never come to an end. With that reading, I would like to have these two queries for us for a reflection time before we close our time here of worship. In what ways has our Creator revealed love to me today? Is query number one. Number two is, in what ways have I revealed my love for others today?
Please stand with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Go in peace.